Off the Ball Rugby.
Jesus, Michael Checker. He's a real polarizer guy. Like, you know, you read Rob Kearney's book and you go, Jesus, and then you talk to other people and say, you know, the guy made my career, you know.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
And you're welcome to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you as always until 5. We hope you're doing okay around the country after the storm. What is coming up on the show today? Well, it is day one of a new era in Gaelic football. New rules to be in operation for the Allianz Football League, which starts this afternoon. And the feature game of the weekend is Galway's match against Armagh, a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final. Ahead of their meeting in Salt Hill, we'll be chatting to Armagh forward Rory Grugan about the changes to the game, winning the Sam Maguire Cup, life and grief. That extended interview coming up just after 2 o'clock. Also day one of the Allianz Hurling League season. Former Kilkenny player and star Aidan Taggy Fogarty will look ahead to the campaign at about 1:30. And with the top 7 clubs in the Premier League in action today, there are lots to update you on and discuss on Football Saturday with Owen Doyle, Graeme Gartland and Johnny Ward. We will do that between 3 and 5. You can WhatsApp us today, 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180. You can also text us 53106. At a cost of 30 cent. Shane Hannan and Cameron Hill with me for the news round. How are you, Shane?
Afternoon, John. How are things? Keeping well?
Not too bad, thanks. And a few postponements after the storm?
Just a few postponements. Yeah, it was mad to see the images from the Connacht Air Dome in Beacon yesterday.
I felt sorry for everybody involved there, John Prenti and everybody in Connacht GA. Now, they do have insurance, but...
Yeah, and he said afterwards, like, they prepped, you know, they had done everything that they could in advance. And yet still, such was the power of this storm that just ripped the roof clear off it. It was mad scenes, obviously, over there. But as you said, they have insurance. It'll be rebuilt, which is great. But yeah, just kind of highlighted the power of it. I was in the office yesterday. And, it was eerie in Dublin, but Dublin seems to have been, like, for example, not escaped the worst of it, but certainly the West Coast has been battered and bruised. Still without power in Monaghan, in my house. So I had the humbling experience of having to ring my parents for a shower this morning.
Reminded me of the COVID time when you're broadcasting from home and everything.
So yeah,
it's back to then, really. But it was the right thing to do to lock the country down.
Yeah. Is it Eowyn? Is that, I know all week we've been discussing
Eowyn.
Eowyn. Oh, it's the Welsh kind of vibe to the whole thing. We moved on to the next one. Now, I think the next storm has been already.
Ever been a storm, Shane?
I'm sure there has. I'm sure there has. And a storm Cameron and a storm John, no doubt. At some point. But yeah, I'll just mention the postponements for people.
Yes.
Because I know there's a lot of people probably planning their day around these games. But a new era with new rules beginning for intercounty football on the opening weekend of the Allianz National Football League. Salt Hill hosts the Division 1 meeting of Galway and All-Ireland champions Armagh at 5:15 this evening. Goes ahead. Derry begin the defence of their title with a trip to their neighbours Tyrone, where there's a 6 p.m. start at Healy Park in Omagh. Croke Park plays host to the meeting of old rivals Dublin and Mayo. That's at 7:30. Tomorrow's match between Kerry and Donegal has been postponed due to that storm. The game will be refixed by the CCCC on Monday, while the Division 3 meeting of Leitrim and Laois, which was due to take place today, has been rescheduled for tomorrow at 2:00 in Ballinamore. The other games in the football that are going ahead as things currently stand: in Allianz National Football League Division 2, Cavan versus Monaghan at Kingspan Breffni Park at 6:00. An hour before that at 5:00, it's Cork against Meath at Super Value Porky Cueve. In Division 3, Kildare taking on Fermanagh at Cedral St Conleth's in Newbridge from 5 p.m. And in Division 4, Wexford against London at Chadwick's Wexford Park at 7:00. And Carlow versus Tip at Netwatch Cullen Park from 6 p.m. By the way, that Dublin Mayo game will be preceded at 3:10 start in the All-Ireland Club Junior Football Championship final. That's Naoimh Padraig Muff of Donegal against Uncarhu Rua of Galway. In the hurling, Cork manager Pat Ryan has picked 9 of his starting team from last year's All-Ireland final for their trip to Wexford in Division 1A of the Allianz National Hurling League at 5 p.m. In Division 1B, Joe McDonagh Cup winners Offaly host Carlow at 2, while David Fitz takes his Antrim team to Croke Park to play Dublin at 5:15. A couple of games off, Westmeath's clash with Laois off due to a frozen pitch, as is the Division 3 hurling meeting between Mayo and Cavan, which was due to be underway at 1:00 at Hastings Insurance, McHale Park. While a few of the other games to bring you as well that are going ahead as things currently stand: Dublin against Antrim at Croke Park at 5:15 p.m. So that is indeed a triple header at Croke Park. Offaly Carlow, as I mentioned, at Linlithgow O'Connor Park at 2:00. In Division 2 of the hurling, Tyrone versus Derry at O'Neill's Healy Park in Omagh at 4:00. Down versus Kildare at McKenna Park in Ballycran from 2. Trim is the venue for Meath versus Donegal at 2:00. While in Division 4 of the hurling, Louth versus Fermanagh at Parknieff Bridge, Dowdleshill from 2. Longford Warwickshire at 2:00 at Pierce Park, and Lancashire versus Leitrim at 2 o'clock as well at Abbottstown.
I think it was the Specials who sang it. It is the dawning of a new era.
That was actually very good.
Wow.
It was not bad. Okay. Do you have a singing voice?
Yeah. I don't know. I think people might disagree with that. That melody out and about.
Come on now.
I'm out of town, you know, so I don't know. People might disagree, but...
You're a good band for the 80s music, aren't you?
Yeah, that'd be my...
That's your vibe.
80s music. Yeah.
I remember I put up a story on my Instagram not too long ago and I got a reply because I used the song on it. Damn Jericho!
Just because like, it was 80s
stuff. Did you know what you were picking?
I did. I love it. I think they're a better U2.
Then Jericho... There was a song called Big Area. Now, I know this is going way over your head. I can tell already. It used to be the RT Sports Stadium theme tune.
Right.
It was called Big Area, late 80s. They're an English band. I think they had a couple of songs, but the one Cameron is referring to is The Motive.
Great song. Okay. Great song.
Well, I feel like your mastermind subject would be something quite...
There's lots of things.
But a few different ones.
Yeah, there'd be a few different ones.
Yeah, there'd be some 80s music thrown in there as a potential.
Ian Dempsey used to do this song where... to guess the intro within, can you guess it like as quickly as I can? So probably literally within 2 to 3 seconds.
You can correct me if I'm wrong here, because I remember a day in the office a number of years ago, a few years ago, where you asked me about Instagram had this new feature on Instagram stories where you could put a song into your Instagram story. And you're asking me how exactly to go about it. And I showed you and you haven't looked back since.
You've gone
straight to strike. I have found 80 songs on the basis of John Duggan's
Instagram. It's been an
Instagram.
Education.
At John Duggan's Sport. You know the way you can put 15 seconds of song on 10 things.
Yeah.
But and it replaces the story better than hearing that than the real Atmos.
It is. It's like whether it's a walk on the beach in Killiney or whether it's a pint, a gorgeous pint in front of you. It does give an Atmos to the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a nice needle drop every time.
What song will they be playing after this Gaelic football?
Oh,
weekend then.
The Rain by Cult.
Yeah. I feel really strange heading into this because I'm really excited, obviously, as always for the leagues. But especially in the football, it just feels you don't know where any team is at because you don't know where they're at with the rules. You're hearing of challenge games, a bit of confusion in challenge games, where the referees are going to be at. Are they going to be officiated differently by different referees? Particularly the 50-metre punishment for the descent. Or for holding up a free kick for the opposition. I mean, that's going to be tough to officiate. And you know, today at some point or tomorrow, that could be the determination between a team winning or losing. They could give away a free on the middle of the pitch, and all of a sudden descent. It's brought right into the 13-20 meter line, and a team wins or loses, and a relegation at the end of it all comes about because of these rules. So it's going to be strange.
Yeah, but you got to learn the hard way when it comes to these rules. Mm. I think Malachy Clerkin was writing last week in the Irish Times about watching some of the sandbox games and challenge matches between the intercounty sides. And just even as you mentioned, the descent thing, where do I give the ball to when I've committed a free?
Mm.
And the ref kind of said, look, I have to penalise you, but the best thing to do is just give the ball back to me. And those are things that are just going to take a little bit of time because you're correcting behaviour more than anything else.
So you can throw the ball to the referee. So you don't want to waste time, but there will be loopholes.
Mm.
So throw the ball to the referee as opposed to your opponent to take the free.
Mm.
So that's the way to hold things up.
How much more space will there be in the game? How much more attacking play? How many players will go for this 2-point shot outside the 40? How much will we see the goalkeeper involved as a 12th man, given there's 3-3 now? And how will that 3-3 work? How will it be policed? And the same thing, as you say, the solo and go, how much fitter will players need to be? How will managers set up against it? The league would often pass me by over the years. This is not going to pass me by. This is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Mm. You have a really fascinating interview. And I know you sat down with him recently, Rory Grugan, the Armagh All-Ireland winner, a damn good gentleman. And he touches on loads of interesting things, grief among them. But he also obviously touches on these new rules. Fascinated to hear him talk about the fact that he expects more scores and the 3v3.
The need for the kick out to go beyond the 40. And there's so many things. And you've got 7 core enhancements. But the one thing that's not among the core enhancements that is coming in is this descent thing. It's going to probably change the culture of the game completely. And depends, as you say, some referees could be lenient, some referees could be very strict.
Yeah,
you're almost giving away an automatic score if it's moved 50 metres up. It's like in the melting pot of an All-Ireland final, 10 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they can change this after the league, but I'm just fascinated to see at the business end now, quarterfinals, semifinals, finals of the All-Ireland series. What rules, what things will make the difference?
But I think the dissent thing is so interesting because for years it was, for want of a better phrase, paid lip service to. I remember like in school when you'd go out and to training that our manager, our coaches would try and hit home that, look at rugby. You have to respect the referee and talk to them with a sense of decorum. But it was never really followed through. But I think that feeling has always been there among Gaelic football fanatics that, you know, we do need to protect the referees and pay them their due deference. But it's never been followed. Whereas, it's going to be a huge change in behaviour. But I think for the better, like we've talked for ages about the abuse the refs get and like even just measures to try and curb that, especially with these new rules, which will be challenging in themselves. It's important to have.
I have a message in from an intercounty referee who's messaged me, Martin McNally from Monaghan. He says, I give the referees a break. He has pointed out you cannot pass the ball to the referee as an option to slow things up. So any intercounty players listening at the moment, you can't do that. So thanks, Martin, for
Would you guys say that referee issues are less prevalent in hurling because of football? Or football? Than football? I'm trying to say is that if the game is faster, players will have less time to be slowing it down and getting involved in I would say, handbags with other players. Because the game, like Mara Steegan's even writing in the Irish Times today, that his GPS has gone up significantly since he started refereeing these challenge matches.
Maybe.
Well, you saw that, not to give much away, but Rory Grugan and other footballers are saying that the middle third, I suppose, particularly, you need the fitness on a huge scale to increase, and referees are going to have to keep up with that. Like, it's going to get to the point where, especially at club level, it's going to be very, very difficult to referee these new rules in football. You might have a few extra eyes obviously helping you in an intercounty sense, but it's going to be really difficult. We won't really know the difficulties until we get a couple of these first rounds over and done with. And I know there'll be an opportunity maybe to have a think after the leagues about what worked and what didn't work. Like we the 4 points for the goal didn't work and they rightly got rid of that.
Look, this is a good thing. It's 140 years of association. We all knew football to the obvious eye was broken to a degree. Mm. And if it brings back a more free-flowing game, you can always change things. No problem making changes for me. And it's a democratic association and people, if they want change to come in again or to roll back some of these rules, they will.
Yeah. I'll also just mention, and you know, obviously you I do get a slagging for the amount of times I mentioned Monaghan, but this is the first day that Monaghan will play in a long, long time where Conor McManus has been retired. So just wanted to mention Conor obviously today, and what an incredible career, like the greatest footballer that the Monaghan has ever produced. I hope Nudie Hughes isn't listening, but he is, like, and the three All-Stars, the couple of Ulster medals, whatever about all of those.
But it's your first show of the year, so you're allowed to say
I'm allowed to say this.
He's been stewing at home.
Yeah, just waiting.
You've been minding the baby.
Yeah, I have been minding the baby, and she's got her little Monaghan jersey. Just got a little number 15 in tribute to Conor McManus. But like some of the greatest days in Monaghan fans' lives have been because of clutch moments from Conor McManus. And I texted him during the week. I'm sure there's been a lot of people messaging him, and he did say, look, he's unbelievable memories. And I'm sure he looked back with great pride. He's just one of those footballers, one of the best players to never win in All-Ireland, but aside from that, he's just one of the greatest to ever do. At that point against Tyrone and Omagh in 2018, I was there behind the goal, and it's the greatest point I've ever witnessed in person. I don't think I'll ever see a better point in my lifetime. And it was just, he just would shoot from places where you think that's stupid to shoot from there. But it's funny because the 2-point arc was probably made for players like that in their prime. It's unfortunate we'll never get to see Conor.
Matty Ford would have been great at that 2-point arc.
Stephen O'Neill, you know, there's just some great footballers. But
babies tend to have a great clairvoyance about this stuff.
They do.
Did you hear the baby crying midweek one night? And oh God, has he retired?
I genuinely noticed whether or not they're related, but I was in the house. One of my sisters said to me, she just seen online, oh Shane, did you see Conor McManus has retired? Within seconds, the baby did start crying.
Oh no.
Now you could say it was related, you could say it wasn't related. You could say the little girl knew what it meant.
We can say the babies cry a lot anyway.
Oh, you could say the babies cry and she's 8 months old and
too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, she could have been hungry or something, but either way. Yeah. Brilliant career. I should mention the ladies' football as well. There's a meeting of last year's All-Ireland champions and the 2024 league champions on the opening afternoon of Division 1 of the Ladies National Football League. Kerry begin life without star forward Louise Niemöller-Hertig when the Brendan Martin Cup winners welcome Armagh to Tralee for a 1/2 throw-in. The fixture is a repeat of last year's league final where Armagh came out on top. Paul Casey and Derek Murray take charge of Dublin for the first time for their clash with Mayo. That's at Parnell Park at 2 o'clock. In the football, Liverpool look to maintain their 6-point lead at the summit of the Premier League this afternoon, having secured a place in the last 16 of the Champions League midweek. Arne Slot's table toppers welcome struggling Ipswich to Anfield. That game on Merseyside is underway from 3. At the same time, second-placed Arsenal go to a Wolves team sitting just outside the relegation zone, while Nottingham Forest make the trip to Bournemouth. That should be a cracking game this afternoon as well. Newcastle can move into the top four for a few hours at least with a win at Southampton, while Brighton take on Everton. In the evening game, champions Manchester City could unleash their new signings when they face Chelsea at the Etihad Stadium, 5:30 the kickoff for that one. By the way, Celtic's Scottish Premiership game against Dundee has been postponed due to storm damage at the Parkhead Stadium. It's been rearranged for a 7:45pm kickoff on Wednesday, the 5th of February.
One goal in the championship, Josh Sargent for Norwich, 1-0 at halftime against Swansea. Goalless in the other matches at the break, Luton against Millwall and Stoke versus Oxford United. We have other sport as well going on, obviously, including the Australian Open ladies singles final. A result in that?
Yeah, a result in that one, and a brilliant, brilliant performance and a brilliant match by all accounts as well for the American Madison Keys. She's won her first Grand Slam tennis title with victory in the final of the Australian Open. She's beaten two-time defending champion Aryna Sabalenka in 3 sets in a thrilling decider in Melbourne. Sabalenka was attempting to become the first woman to lift the trophy 3 times in a row since Swiss legend Martina Hingis back in 1999. Only 3 other women have been older than 29-year-old Keys when winning their first Grand Slam title. So the final result in that one, 6-3, 2-6, 7-5. So well done to Madison Keys, and an extraordinary achievement for her. I did want to mention as well, John, briefly, and we spoke about it before we came on air, but January 25th, 1995, 30 years ago today, Selhurst Park, the Kung Fu moment from Eric Cantona. I know you'll talk about it in Football Saturday with the lads as well, but just an iconic moment in Premier League history. We briefly touched on it on breakfast yesterday morning, but Matthew Simmons was the name of the player, and I always get a good laugh at the...
He's the fan.
He was the fan who was kicked by Eric Cantona on this touchline outburst. So people claim that he said to Cantona, instigated this, and I'll give you the PG version, F off back to France, you French mother F. And you can work out the rest yourself. But he claimed always that he said, off you go, Cantona, it's an early bath for you. So there are two versions to that story. But yeah, just what an iconic moment.
Had a lot of implications. Cantona never played for France again. Served an 8-month ban, obviously, to community service. And Ferguson backed him, came back, and they won the double the next season, scored the winner in the FA Cup final at Wembley in 1996. And then you have that press conference, don't you, when the Seagulls follow the trawler. It's because they think sardines are going to be thrown into the sea. He says thank you and walks out.
But
even imagine now, 30 years on, you'd have you'd have 30 people in the crowd around the fan with their smartphones taking this from the other angle. And it was a mad incident. Cost United the title that year, I would have felt.
And then the comeback was just...
Ash. There was a Northern Irish band called Ash that put the Kung Fu kick on the front cover of their album, and the album was called Kung Fu. I think, or was
great
it
song.
A single or an album, but it was Ash, that band, with the Girl from Mars song to continue our musical theme here.
Yeah, I like this trend. 80s music talked on Football Saturday, I presume, as well.
I think we've probably done it. We want to put the listeners out of their misery. We don't want to be talking about that. What else we got?
We've got some rugby. Leinster look to extend their unbeaten run to 14 games when the URC leaders welcome the Stormers to the Aviva Stadium this evening. The hosts have been boosted by the return to fitness of Dan Sheehan and James Lowe, and both do start. A victory for Munster at the Dragons would see Ian Costello's side move into the top half, while sticking with rugby as well. Cameron, beside me here, sat down with Paul O'Connell at the Ireland training camp in Portugal during the week and asked him for his thoughts on whether there's an overly, quote-unquote, Leinster complexion to the Ireland team at the moment.
A 50-50 is never decided on, well, look, he plays with that player in his province. You know, we've never had that conversation. And we know, we're aware of it, we're aware of it that, I suppose, Leinster are very strong, they win a lot of their games. We always talk about when we want to give a young player a chance, we like giving him a chance in a good team because that allows him to perform. And generally, when you get a chance with Leinster at the moment, you get a chance in a good team. So, but at the same time, it's never been. You know, I'm obviously an ex-Munster man. You know, we've pretty some tough battles with Leinster down through the years. It's never ever. We've never actually not selected a Leinster person because we're worried there's too many Leinster players in the squad, and we've never. You know, we've never selected a player because we felt that, you know, he's playing with Leinster, they'll have more of an understanding or more of a combination. We're trying to pick the best players for the team, the best players that I suppose can play the best for us, but also can make the team feel good and prepare well and be in a good place to perform. So, I understand the perception, but it's never entered a conversation.
Paul O'Connell there. So Cameron, you've been on the beat ahead of the Six Nations. What have you learned?
Well, we've learned that Simon Easterby wants to stamp his authority and his mark on this team while he takes charge in the caretaker role. Andy Farrell obviously on his line sabbatical. Also learned that I look like a spy. So I went out to, people might see, it's available now as a podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. I chatted with the former Munster backs coach, Simon Mannix, in Lisbon, outside the stadium where the Lisbon Lions won in 67. And he's currently head coach of Portugal. But I was sitting in the stand watching their training because they have the Rugby Europe Championship, which is like the second tier of Six Nations. Their first game is against Belgium. And I was wearing my wine-coloured Bordeaux jersey, and the videographer from the Portugal team sits down beside me in the stands, very suspect, and says, hello. I said, hi, how's it going? Are you recording our training session? And I said, oh, I'm just watching. I have an interview with Simon, very panicked. He's like, oh, okay. He backed off very quickly. In retrospect, the newspaper with two eye holes cut out of it was a bad move. it's a really interesting chat, and yeah.
Sorry, you're saying you're not a spy?
I'm not a spy.
See, that's exactly what a spy would say.
Hmm.
You know, you're either telling the truth or you're
that's
a very good spy.
True. I am a spy.
I did tell you in the office you do look like a spy.
Well, people must think, you know, the Groucho Marx mask with the glasses and mustache and big nose. That's just my face. But really interesting. Caelan Doris is really settling into his role as captain, and like that, it's amazing. It's next week. Six Nations kicks off.
Next Saturday against England at home. Any kind of feeling about what the team will be?
I think the talk is that it'll be Crowley to start at 10. They're going to rotate and see. Because, you know, it's be very unfair to jettison him, especially after the two games he had against Sarries and Northampton. Like, it would be very, very unfair. I'm really interested to see how the second row approach Mauro Toje as captain. You know, he's someone who gets very worked up in games and celebrates the small moments and really gets fired up. Whereas I think being captain now means he might have to rein that in. So you might see a lot of, what would we call it, gamesmanship from Joe McCarthy or Tadhg Byrne or James Ryan or whoever starts in that second row next week. But I would expect it would be a lot of the Leinster contingent in that team just because the feeling is they'll want to take the emotion out of that occasion. It's England. It's in the Aviva. Obviously, the sting in the tail from last year with the late drop goal to lose. They'll want to just blow them away in the first half. So I'd say, contrary to what Paul O'Connell said in that clip, you might see quite a big Leinster contingent in that starting team.
Yeah, well, England have a lot of injuries, and I suppose that's one benefit for Ireland. I think the France game might be the tougher game. We've AIL action as well.
We do indeed. Just 10 points separate Energia All-Ireland League Division 1 leaders, St Mary's and 6th place Young Munster, ahead of this afternoon's game. St Mary's welcome the reigning champions and currently 3rd place Cork Constitution to Templeville Road. Clontarf, who are 2 points off top spot host Lansdowne. Terenure make the trip to the basement side Gary Owen. UCD face Ballin Hinch, and City of Armagh take on Young Munster. All 5 games with kickoff at 2:30. And Energia AIL updates are brought to you by Energia. Think of the possibilities.
Cameron was talking about podcasts there. Remember, folks, your favourite off-the-wall podcasts available whenever you need them. There are special offers in Apple or sign up monthly via Spotify. Plus, by just downloading and signing into the Off The Ball app, you'll still get to sample out. All of it works with 3 free podcasts a month on us. If you prefer to watch your OTB Fix, become a member on our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe on the platform of your choice. The available platforms are all independent subscriptions. They do not interconnect. You can join now for $9.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. That annual offer, less than 2 a week for more than 50 hours of podcasts. More details and handy links can be found at offtheball.com/join. bit of racing news as well.
Indeed, a winner at the course on New Year's Day. Aurora Vega heads the eight runners for the Grade 3 Mares Novice Hurdle at Ferry House today. Her trainer, Willie Mullins, also runs last time out winners Baby Kate and Fancy Girl in the 2.25 mile contest, while the appropriately named Beaufort Storm holds every chance for trainer Tim Doyle. There's a couple of races that have finished there. The 12.28 handicap chase went to Don't Talk at odds of 4-1. I'll get the other, there was a 103 race there.
Yes, it's gone to One Horse Army, 17-2. And Cheltenham East India Dock has won the Triumph Hurdle trial there. Just on this, we do have a competition for you folks next Saturday and Sunday at the Dublin Racing Festival will take place at Leopardstown. 8 grade one races across the 2 days. Important to know, folks, both days are ticket-only events. Now, right now, we've got 4 tickets to give away for Saturday's meeting. Our question is, which horse has won the Irish Gold Cup at Leopardstown a record 4 times? So which horse has won the Irish Gold Cup at Leopardstown a record 4 times? Text your answer, your name now to 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show.
I think that's everything we have, John. Looking forward to it. And yeah, Allianz Leagues are back, baby. Very, very soon.
Yeah. And we have... Yeah, it's just the Six Nations is creeping up, isn't it? It's
totally out of nowhere. Yeah, it's only been 2 weeks for prep.
Why does that feel? I don't know why it feels like that this year.
I think January was just so miserable.
Well, can we also just mention Cameron met Antoine Dupont this week, which is no small feat.
I did meet God. It was great. It was everything I thought it would be.
He's was he intimidating or nice or
very pleasant, incredibly polite. One of those people who no more than when Owen met Paul Mescal just exudes that superstar quality. Where he's on a different level. But was very engaging, very polite, very patient with his time, and
good English too.
Really good English.
Yeah.
Much more so than Fabien Galthié, who needed a translator for most of it, and was. Quite robust in his Frenchness. And
okay.
So it's been a good week for Cameron.
Yeah, yeah.
Aston Villa 2, Manchester City 4 in the Women's Super League. That is now 71 minutes old, that match. Shane and Cameron, thank you for the news round today. After the break, we're going to look ahead to the new Allianz Hurling League season with Kilkenny's former All-Ireland winner, Aidan Taggy Fogarty. Off the Ball Saturday News Talks back after this.
Off the Ball Daily.